This is Audible.
Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Untouchable Darkness by Rachel Van Dyken, narrated by Chris Chambers and Holly Jackson. Prologue. I stood near the edge of the building where darkness met light. It was the perfect spot for me to be standing, all things considered. That was my life. The perfect rapture of darkness. Light flirted on the outskirts, trying to seep through, but I knew better than anyone its chances of succeeding were slim. I held out my hand, and my fingertips kissed the sunlight peeking through the clouds. I twirled my hand around and let out a defeated sigh.
Cassius!
Sariel, my father and one of the head archangels, the same angels that hadn't appeared to the immortals for over 300 years, spoke my name with such authority and finality that it was impossible not to feel the effects of the words as he released them into the universe. They slammed against my chest, stealing every ounce of oxygen I just greedily sucked in.
You have failed.
Yes. I swallowed the lie, felt it burn all the way down my throat into my lungs. My cold, rotten heart picked up speed. Maybe I really was dead inside, like she said. Maybe it was hopeless, all of it.
I taste the lie on your lips, half-breed.
So taste, I fired back, as my eyes strained to focus on the light. The yearning to be light, to fully allow it to consume me, was like a fire burning in my soul.
I have nothing more to say to you. You realize what this means.
The once purple feathers surrounding his bulky body illuminated red. My heartbeat slowed to a gentle rhythm, as droplets of blood cascaded from his feathers in perfect cadence with my breathing.
I do. Yet you do not fight?
Finally, I lifted my gaze to his. His strong jaw ticked as his black hair blew in the wind. I knew I was the only one who could see him, compliments of my ancestors, my angelic blood.
When one has lost everything worth fighting for, I swallowed.
Tell me, what is the point?
You've never given up before,
he said quietly, his voice filled with disbelief.
I've never been in love before,
I yelled, slamming my hand against the brick wall. If anyone passed by, they'd simply think I'd gone insane, and maybe I had. Because of her. Everything was because of her.
It's best that I die. Best that I leave her.
Sariel's face broke out into a bright smile. The blood from his feathers pooled at his feet, forming the shape of a heart.
Very well.
I prepared myself for the pain, for the sheer agony of ceasing to exist. I knew from stories that when a Dark One died, it was horrific, terrifying, for we never knew if we would rejoin light or the darkness. I assumed I would go dark. I assumed I would be consumed with evil. I assumed wrong, because the minute Sariel touched my skin, I felt nothing but empty.
A gift, Sariel whispered into the air, for my only remaining son.
Chapter 1. 30 days previous. Stephanie. The air crackled with excitement. I watched as the couple sitting a few tables away from me grabbed each other's hands and leaned in for a kiss. I tried to turn away, but it was impossible. I was always drawn to affection, drawn to emotion like it was a homing beacon. Sometimes it really sucked being immortal. I couldn't help but feel what others felt. And I couldn't help but want that feeling for myself. It would be too ridiculously easy to steal the emotional charge in the air or change it with a snap of my fingers. Heck, I could have that guy salivating over me in seconds. But it would be wrong. And for the past week, I'd been trying to do things right. Ever since I'd unknowingly betrayed my only human friend, I had turned over a new leaf. I was a council member, for crying out loud. An immortal siren or a dark one, whatever. I was too many things. A few days ago, I'd given the only dark one I knew, our king, my essence, thinking I'd die, willing to make that sacrifice. Instead, I'd woken up the next day, completely the same as before, as if my immortality had been restored. Only I was different. Before I even opened my eyes, I felt the power of death surge through me. The deepest sort of cold took root from my fingertips all the way down to my toes, and an eerie sort of darkness became a part of me, like a shadow I couldn't get rid of. Dread trickled down my spine. To make matters worse, I woke up to my entire room frozen like the Arctic, which, for an immortal who'd spent the last few hundred years assuming she was nothing more than a siren, terrifying. Besides, sirens hated the cold. It was the exact opposite of what we represented. Warmth, human emotions, heat, lust, fire. Blah. I shivered. Would I ever be warm again? It wasn't the type of cold you could escape. It was a part of me, just like my heart. The very heart I'd given to Cassius. The only man I'd ever loved. If you could truly call him that. Half human, half angel, he was the king of the immortals and not just completely off limits, but dangerous. A Dark One's touch was powerful enough to force humans into a cheerful slavery for a millennia. To me, he'd simply always felt good. Until I discovered that he'd put a very powerful glamour on me when I was a child, hiding me away from the archangels who swore to kill more Dark Ones if they were ever created. I sighed. What was the point anymore? Cassius was gone. He'd disappeared the minute I'd opened my eyes that fateful morning 2 days ago to find my brand new Nike running shoes covered in snow. The couple in front of me laughed again. It grated my nerves because I was jealous of them. Of them! It was laughable. Or it should have been. A week ago, I would have laughed. Now, it was just bordering on pathetic. As an elder among the immortals, it was my job to keep the peace and run interference between our kind and the humans. Not sit at a Starbucks and watch a newly engaged couple with silent longing. Cassius, our leader, the only king the immortals have ever known, had been missing for a few days, and it killed me to think it was because he was ashamed of me, ashamed of what I'd done to Genesis. Not that it was my fault an archangel had bitten me, seduced me, and basically entranced me into doing something. Granted, the whole jealousy part was my fault, making the spell he put me under that much stronger. I took a long sip of my latte and pouted. I hadn't done that in ages. It didn't help.
"You look like hell."
Mason plopped down at the table. His shaggy brown hair was pulled back underneath a Seahawks hat. Black aviators hung loosely across his strong nose, framing his very deadly, yet undeniably sexy 5 o'clock shadow. Stupid werewolf. An underlying earthy scent like that of burned wood and pine cones floated between us with each casual movement he made. And believe me, he needed to look as casual as possible, considering he just naturally attracted any animal within a 10-mile radius. "Yeah, well," I pointed at his hat. "You look like a tourist."
"Please."
He snorted, then grabbed my coffee and took a sip. "Since when do you drink coffee?"
"I don't know."
He pushed the coffee back and made a face.
"Since when do you leave the house, pout for a whole damn day, and then stare longingly at a human couple like you're about to eat them?"
I wasn't staring longingly. I grumbled, suddenly finding my hands fascinating as I wrung them together.
"You were. Saw the whole thing. Disgusting, really."
"Do you have a reason for stalking me?"
"If I was stalking you, you'd already be dead."
He smirked.
"And yeah, I was out grocery shopping."
So many things wrong with a wolf grocery shopping.
"Orders from Genesis. She wants me to start eating again."
I squirmed in my seat.
"Everything's fine.
he said in a gruff voice.
Water under the bridge, you've been redeemed, blah, 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 come home.
Really? I chuckled and toyed with my straw. That's the speech?
Ethan wouldn't write one out for me, so take what you can get.
A regular lady killer. Mason groaned into his hands.
No idea why they sent me.
You have the manners of a beast, I agreed.
But you know I'm right. You belong with us at home, not out here at Starbucks of all places.
He left, I whispered. Admitting it out loud was harder than I thought it would be. The only man I'd ever loved and tried to die saving had left. Like we'd had some sort of one-night stand he was ashamed of. Ugh, my head hurts.
He'll be back. He just needed...
Mason swore under his breath.
God save me from these types of conversations. Cassius needed time, and regardless of his feelings and your odd connection, he's still king, so I don't give a flying rat's ass if he killed himself so you could live, then professed undying love on Dr. Phil.
He offered a dismissive shrug.
He's our king. What he says goes. He left, so let him leave. It's not your place to question him.
Someone has to. I pushed back my chair and stood. Mason followed suit and pulled me into his embrace. I tried to fight him, but it was impossible. The man was so strong he could break me in half, and that was saying a lot since I could seriously hold my own.
Steph.
Mason sighed into my hair.
Just leave it. Ever thought of simply telling him thank you and moving on with your life?
I sighed against him, inhaling his woodsy scent. No.
Try it.
No.
Steph.
I'll come back. My shoulders slumped as I gave in. But what do I do if he comes to the house? What if he does come back? That thought was almost as depressing and confusing as him staying away forever, or me being the reason behind his absence.
Well, I may have this ass backward, all things considered. I mean, I eat pine cones, but you could always say hi.
The ride back to Ethan's house was almost unbearable. For one thing, Mason drove like a maniac. I'm pretty sure he's actually never passed a driver's test. When I asked to see his license, he laughed and pushed down on the accelerator, shooting Ethan's brand new Lexus forward like a pinball out of the slot along busy city streets. You'd think he had a death wish. Then again, it would take more than a car accident to kill us. By the time we pulled up to Ethan's mansion on Lake Washington, I was ready to kiss the ground and cuss Mason out. The chance to get in the wolf's face was taken from me the minute the car shut off.
Stephanie.
Ethan had already opened my door and was holding his hand out like a damn peace offering. My heart stopped beating so heavily in my chest. I glared up at him. Stupid vampires and their ability to control things like hearts. Why did I need mine anyway? Especially if it was going to constantly get broken by Cassius. I swallowed the emotion tightening in my throat and placed my hand in Ethan's. Ethan? I challenged him with a glare and stood to my full height.
You should always take someone with you when you go out.
Ethan's eyebrows knit together as if he was actually concerned for my safety.
It isn't proper for you to be...
drinking coffee by myself? I finished. He rolled his emerald green eyes.
Yes, well, try to be more careful. We can't simply snap our fingers and replace council members.
Ah, so it's about the council.
It's about you.
Ethan half growled in my ear and shoved me toward the door where both Genesis and my brother were waiting. I was half tempted to throw my hands in the air and blurt out, I'm fine. I'm really fine. I promise. Genesis had a look of pity on her face. And my brother looked like he was relieved I was still alive and well. Hey, guys. I managed a weak wave. You found her. Genesis winked at Mason.
Wolves have amazing tracking abilities.
He puffed out his chest, then received a punch from Ethan. Please, I rolled my eyes. You probably use the Find a Friend app on your phone.
Still counts.
Mason nodded and then tapped his head.
Tracker.
Genesis laughed softly, then looped her arm in mine. Don't run away. Next time, just talk to us. Talk, I mimicked. About Cassius? About the fact that my entire existence up until now has been a lie? The only thing that had changed in the past few days was that my hunger for Cassius had grown to epic proportions. He'd rejected me all over again. After kissing me, mind you. And the place where my heart was supposed to be felt like it was slowly being ripped from my body. I didn't just desire Cassius. I needed him. Because I still didn't understand what I was or what I was capable of, and he was the only Dark One remaining who could actually tell me. We were the last. And it kind of sucked. Dark Ones were typically male. I knew how they worked. But a woman? Who had siren tendencies? Ugh, I got a headache just thinking about it. You need him, Genesis whispered next to me. He'll come. He just needed some time. Needed some time, I snorted. People who need time calmly tell their family where the hell they're going. They don't sneak off in the middle of the night without a trace. It's like he fled the freaking country.
To be fair, he left his passport here,
Mason joked. Genesis glared. Not the time. He held up his hands and let out a little bark at my expense. He fled the country, I repeated. To get away from me, from the awkward situation. I pointed at myself and looked down. From this. There's nothing wrong with you. Genesis squeezed my shoulder. I'd always pitied humans like Genesis, breeders, ones who were brought into the immortal fold in order to produce children with the immortals. Then again, she'd been the game changer. She'd brought balance to our world. Now she was like a goddess to our people and to our vampire husband, while I felt more human by the day. I couldn't help but think that one day I'd wake up and simply not exist anymore, or not care to. And that thought terrified me. I could feel the darkness inside swirling, trying to grab a hold. The bond between me and the darkness was building, strengthening, and I was so afraid I wasn't going to make it. When I'd saved his life, because he'd saved mine. I had no idea what I was doing other than I couldn't stand the thought of existing in a world without him. Now I knew. Every second I knew. Because every second I existed, my heart yearned for his presence. Alex, my brother, though we weren't actually related, something I was still having a hard time swallowing, slapped me hard on the back.
Think of it this way, sis. You have to have had a huge effect on him for him to flee to China or wherever the hell he went in the dead of night.
Wow. Brothers, I nodded. So helpful. Tell me, where's the razor blades for my wrists again?
Please.
Alex snorted.
You'd simply attract vampires, not to mention send Ethan into a frenzy.
Ethan doesn't want my blood. Too strong.
That's true.
Ethan pushed past us.
Okay, family meeting. Cute.
Mason stomped into the kitchen and put his feet on the table.
We're having family meetings now. Cassius isn't here, but he isn't gone either.
Ethan avoided looking at me, which only meant one thing. He still sensed him. Embarrassment washed over me anew.
So until we know where he is and how to proceed, we'll simply go about business as usual, agreed? We have 3 weeks until the next council meeting, and now that the Archangels are talking to us again, we need to make sure we have complete order within all the species, agreed?
I hated to admit he was right. The Archangels were terrifying. And now we were on their radar again, thanks to the Genesis, Ethan, and Cassius love triangle. My heart clenched again.
He's right.
Mason leaned back in his chair.
I'll check in with the wolves while Alex checks in with the sirens and demons.
Hey. Alex sat down and frowned.
Why do I have to check in with the demons? Last time they tried to eat my hand. You have lovely hands.
Mason nodded.
Could it be because someone told them they tasted like ambrosia?
Alex kicked Mason's chair, almost sending him toppling toward the ground.
Easy mistake.
Mason yawned. I'll check in with them. I found myself offering, and all eyes turned in my direction. I shrugged. What? How hard can it be? Make sure they don't kill any humans, get a head count. I shrugged again. Wow, I was doing that a lot. No big.
No big, Alex grumbled. Until they eat you.
I'm a dark one, I half-whispered. They could only try. The room fell silent, because I'd just brought in the giant elephant and asked everyone if they wanted to go for a ride. Well done.
Great.
Ethan broke the silence.
So Steph will check on the demons. Tonight?
Yep, I nodded, feeling less enthusiastic than I looked. They'll be on the prowl, so it should be easy. It's not dangerous, is it? Genesis asked. Hell yes, it was dangerous. But maybe that's what I needed. A bit of danger. I shrugged, a third time, great, and made eye contact with Ethan. We're immortal. What's the worst that can happen? Chapter 2 Stephanie. Going out and hunting for demons ended up being a bigger pain in my ass than I realized. First of all, the leader, if you could even call him that, wasn't at his normal hangout, meaning I had to basically bar hop all the way through Belltown asking demons if they'd seen him. Most of the demons shied away from me. Most of them were too smart to do anything like piss me off. But there was always that outlier, the one individual who didn't play by the rules and thought his own crap didn't stink. Meet Jefferson. Go away. I shooed him with my hand and turned my back to him, ordering another glass of white wine.
You smell like...
His voice was raspy and suggestive as he leaned close, inhaling from my airspace.
Sin.
Wow. I took two large, unladylike gulps of the wine and turned to face him for the third time. He wasn't awful-looking, if you favored blonde curly hair and chocolate eyes. But I knew deep down what he was, a social-climbing idiot who'd most likely try to kill me in my sleep, just so he could steal some of the angel blood for himself and hope to gain more power.
Ah, you're warming to me.
He winked. I nodded, then placed both hands on his shoulders, raising my knee to his balls in an effortless strike that had him collapsing to the floor in agony. If that's what you want to call it, sure.
You bitch!
He wailed from the ground.
What the hell did you do that for?
You were pissing me off. I kneeled down next to him and tugged his black shirt so it almost ripped in my hands. Now where's your boss?
Busy.
He spat in my face. I punched him in the jaw.
Damn it.
Black blood oozed from his nose.
Would it kill you to give a guy a shot?
Yes. Yes, it would. I released him. Now stop wasting my time. My feet hurt. I've been out all night tracking... I waved my hand into the air. Smelly little street rats. He let out a low hiss. Just tell me where he is. Jeffrey paled and gulped all at once while a voice said near my ear in a harsh whisper,
Behind you.
Every hair on my body stood on edge. Yes. Their leader was about an inch from my neck. Demon bites hurt like hell, and if I moved any more, his teeth would graze my soft skin. Though in the back of my head, I remembered I was a dark one, right? So maybe I had more power in this situation than I thought. Quickly, I turned. Timber. I put my hands on my hips. About time you showed up.
Well.
He rocked back on his heels and lifted his hand in the air. A beer made its way across the bar. He picked it up and took a long swig, the muscles in his neck constricting as he swallowed. Most humans would find him gorgeous. I just found him irritating and an abomination, but who was I to talk?
When a beautiful woman seeks me out.
He set the beer down and winked one of his baby blues. I rolled my eyes. Numbers, what are they?
Straight to business. No pleasure.
He eyed me up and down, his blue eyes flashing red before going back to normal. No.
You.
His eyebrows knit together as he leaned forward.
You smell strange.
I backed up. New perfume. His eyes flashed even redder than before.
No, no. I don't think that's it.
It was like his body grew before my very eyes. He was transitioning into what a demon really looked like, which was something out of a first grader's nightmare. Horns would pop up on his head, his teeth would elongate to fangs, and his face would hollow out, revealing nothing but skull.
"Jeffrey," he barked, "tell me, what do you smell?"
Not good. Definitely not good, and as a council member, it wasn't like I had backup or some sort of immortal mojo that would keep me from getting myself into trouble. I was a peacekeeper. I didn't fight. Not that I didn't know how, but now that the glamour of being a siren was all but worn off, all I could do was feed off of others' emotions. And since Cassius had abandoned me, I wasn't sure what else I could do. A syrupy sweet scent started filling the air. Arousal. I clenched my fists as I felt my body temperature drop. It wasn't on purpose, or controllable. It was like my body was getting ready to defend its angel blood if it was the last thing I did.
"Angel,"
Jeffrey whispered in a gleeful voice, his eyes rolling to the back of his head as he licked his lips and adjusted himself.
"Gross." "A baby one."
Timber tilted his head, taking a predatory stance in front of me, his body continuing to grow.
"Maybe we should continue this in one of the back rooms."
"Actually," I stepped to the side, "if you just give me your numbers, I'll get going. It's late, and you know how the council is."
"Our numbers are growing to epic proportions. That is all you need to know."
Timber reached out to grab me. I jerked away so fast I lost my footing and fell directly against a muscled chest.
"Is this thing bothering you?"
The voice sounded familiar yet vaguely different, as if someone had added warmth to it. My body responded to the warmth with an uncontrollable shiver. "Yes." I leaned back into the warm body like it was my lifeline. Whoever the human was, he was ridiculously built. The warmth of his body gave new life to mine, making the cold not feel so cold, so lonely.
"Pitiful human,"
Timber hissed under his breath. But he knew he was stuck. Immortal rule number one was never to reveal yourself to humans. And Timber knew if he did, Cassius would rain hell on the entire demon population, wiping out every last one.
"Jeffrey,"
Timber snapped his fingers,
"we should be going." "Sure thing."
Jeffrey sniffed again in my direction and grinned. I flipped him off. He tried to charge toward me, but Timber held him back.
"Till we meet again, angel."
"Not your angel."
"Tell that to your blood."
He licked his lips and pushed Jeffrey through the crowds. The scent of cinder stayed with me for a few minutes. I'd almost forgotten I was still in my rescuer's arms, until he gave them a squeeze. Oh. I stumbled forward, then turned around, embarrassed that I'd been hanging all over him like a lovesick human. "I'm so sorry. Thanks for the save, though. You really..." My voice left me.
"I really... what?"
he asked, folding his arms across his broad chest. I followed the motion with greedy eyes. He was huge, built, tall, and gorgeous. Slowly, I raised my eyes to meet his and nearly passed out. "Cassius?"
"Sort of."
"But you're...
human."
Chapter 3. Cassius. 10 hours. It had taken me 10 hours since my damning meeting with Sariel to get used to my body. A human. My archangel father had made me a human. I briefly wondered if I'd get struck by lightning if I called him a bastard, and had my answer when the sound of feathers ruffling together in protest floated through the air. 10 hours after he'd condemned me, I'd gained several bruises, a cut across my hand, and sore joints,
reminding me yet again that I was old and I was breakable. I hated it, every damn second, until it rained. And then I felt everything. I lifted my eyes to the sky and gasped as the raindrops splattered across my face, rolling down my lips. It tasted pure. It tasted real, like life was getting poured on my body over and over again. When you spend your existence focusing on the immortal parts of yourself, you lose that shred of humanity. It's a slow drain until you forget all the different components that made you human and simply embrace the supernatural. And when you embrace the supernatural, or rather embrace your immortality, you forget the simple things, like rain and the way it feels. I never had time to stop and let rain pour over my head. If the rain irritated me, I simply waved it away. If the sun was too hot, I closed my wide eyes and allowed the ice to spread through my veins, compliments of being part angel, part human. For the last 1,000 years, I'd simply ignored one part of myself, one part that made me whole, and existed without it. I roamed the streets for a day, watching people, not because I was lost or bored, but because everything was so new to me, so exciting, so raw. I felt everything all at once. It was overwhelming, and for the first time in my existence, life was exciting again. And then I saw her, at Starbucks, by herself, and my world simply stopped. My breathing never returned to normal, and I was reminded yet again that I had 30 days, and I was on day 29. I'd lost one day. Irritated that I let myself get so distracted, I followed her to the house, and followed her again when she left. Each time a stupid human hit on her, I laughed, until a little voice inside my head reminded me that I was just as bad, just as low on the totem pole. I wasn't sure who the hell had sent Steph out to speak to the demons, but they were going to have to answer to me. She was as defenseless as a weak little lamb out in a thunderstorm. She had no idea what she was capable of, and was oblivious to the scent she gave off to every male and female she walked by. I still smelled it. Maybe that was Sariel's cruelty coming to the forefront. He would turn me to a human, allow me to win the woman I loved, only to remind me yet again that I wasn't on an even playing field. I was not her equal. Maybe I'd never been. Cassius? Stephanie reached up and cupped my face. It felt nice. It felt warm. What happened to you? You wouldn't believe me if I told you. At least that was the truth. Her eyes narrowed. Were you punished? For what happened? No. Then, she shook her head. Care to explain why your eyes aren't white but blue? Why you smell like rain? Weird. You smell like rain? And... I gripped her hands in mine. Later. For now we should return to the house before the demons bring back friends to take you down. Well, I have you, she shrugged. They couldn't touch me. As if realizing what she'd just said, her face fell. I'm human. I said it again. It felt funny on my lips. As if my eyes had ideas of their own, I focused in on her mouth. Damn, it was pretty. I wondered if I'd ever really taken the time to appreciate her beauty. Or maybe I knew that the minute I did, I'd be lost. Cassius? She gripped my arm. I stared at that hand far longer than was necessary. You're right. We should go. I followed her out of the bar, pulling my hands into tight fists to keep from reaching for her body. It was hard to focus on anything except for the outline of her hips. Damn, being human was sending me into madness fast. I was hypnotized by her every movement, following her like she was my reason for existing. We weaved in and out of the crowd, and finally made it outside. The silence wasn't awkward, but her stares were. I'd never been insecure about anything. But I came to realize that being human meant I was feeling emotions I wasn't used to feeling. Like insecurity. Why the hell was she staring at me so hard? And why did my body respond in such a heated way that I was consciously looking for a place to push her against so I could trap that soft body and capture those lips? Was it this hard for all humans? My thoughts went into dangerous territory as she nervously licked her lips over and over again, body dizzy with want. It was getting hard to walk in a straight line. "My car's over here." Stephanie pointed to Ethan's newest Lexus. "Don't you mean Ethan's car?" I smirked, quite cheered at the fact that she'd most likely scratched the piece of machinery before the week's end. Ethan and I had always been at odds, now even more so. He was arrogant, and ever since our falling out over his first mate's death, it had been easy to let him hate me, to blame me for her death and everything since, when none of it was really my fault. Rules were not meant to be broken. Yet as I thought those very words, I had to wonder, what part of me being fully human fit into the strict set of rules and guidelines given to the immortals since the beginning of time? "We're sharing," she shrugged. "I bet," I chuckled. It sounded funny. Stephanie let out a little gasp. I shrugged because, really, what else could I do? Laugh more? Once we were on the freeway heading back toward Ethan's, Stephanie finally started talking. Maybe she needed those minutes to process. Hell, I'd taken a whole day, and I still wasn't sure what my plan was. Touching her would do nothing. I was without any of my angelic power. She wouldn't be seduced by it, and even if I was still a dark one, so was she, which meant... what? Would our powers equalize? Or destroy us both? Was I playing at heartache even now? "You even sound different," Stephanie muttered under her breath. "Your voice is... gruffer." "Yes." The word caught at the back of my throat, making me sound like an idiot. "Do you bruise?" She pulled to a stop at the next light and stared at me. I licked my lips and ran my fingers through my dark hair. "I guess so." The punch was so hard, I was pretty confident one of my ribs simply broke in half. "What the hell?" I roared, rubbing my right side while trying to suck in enough air so I didn't pass out. It hurt to breathe. "How dare you leave me?" She hit the accelerator, causing me to slam back against the seat. "Stephanie," I held out my shaking hands. "Damn it, calm down." The car picked up speed. Shit. Fear wasn't something I was accustomed to, but there it was slamming against my chest as she weaved in and out of traffic, gaining speed. I gripped my seatbelt. "Steph, just calm down for a minute. If you listen, I think you'll understand and..." "Understand?" She laughed. "You left me. Alone. I don't even know what I am, and you left me." "I had no choice," I roared, as the car damn near collided with a semi. The atmosphere in the car turned to ice. I knew the look in her eyes well. It was the same as I'd seen reflected on my face a few thousand times. Her eyes turned a stormy white. Icicles formed around the steering wheel. If she didn't calm down, the entire car was going to freeze and explode into pieces of icy dust. "Stephanie, listen to me." I touched her icy arm. "Can you at least do that? I'm here now. Does that tell you nothing?" Her breath froze in front of her face. My teeth clattered together. This wasn't going to end well for me if she didn't relax. She'd be just fine. I'd be worse off than the car. "Pull over," I barked. She shook her head. "Pull the car over. Now." I jerked the steering wheel. She didn't fight me. Instead, the car rocked to the side and screeched to a halt right at our exit. Out of control. She was out of control. She needed to get warm before the cold took over, before the darkness consumed her. She had no idea what powers she was playing with, How losing control of your emotions could destroy you, put you in a catatonic state for weeks. She still wasn't responding to my voice, so I did what any human would do. I kissed her.
Chapter 4. Stephanie. His lips felt hot, not cold like before. They were warm, inviting, but the touch of his mouth just reminded me he didn't want me. Reluctantly, I pushed against his chest. He slammed back against the seat, hard, like I just punched him with every ounce of strength I had. With a gasp, I covered my mouth with my hands and whispered, "I'm so sorry." Cassius winced, bringing his hand to rub the back of his head.
"I may not be able to taste your lies anymore, but I'm not stupid. The last thing you are is sorry."
"But I am."
"Lie."
Cassius's face broke out into a mocking grin.
"Though I'll go as far as to believe you didn't mean to kill me."
He alternated between rubbing his stomach and checking the back of his head for blood. "Of course not." The thought made me sick to my stomach. "Are you hurt?" He didn't answer, but his face was paler than before, and I noticed his breathing was a bit uneven. Was it from the violence or the kiss?
"If you don't learn to control your emotions, we'll both be dead by the time we reach Ethan's. If we make it that far."
Another wince.
"Now I know everything is very new to you, but if you could try not to kill one or both of us within the next 10 minutes, I'd be eternally grateful. I'm still not used to being fully human."
I swallowed and looked away in shame. "I don't really know how to control certain things, where you're concerned."
"Wouldn't have guessed that,"
he said dryly, his eyes narrowing in on me with the precision of a sharp knife. "What?" I licked my lips nervously and stared ahead out the window.
"Nothing. It's just I'm trying to decide if that's a compliment or not."
I stole another glance at him. How was he so calm? And why didn't he lose all of his good looks the minute he turned human? How was that fair? His blue eyes were electric in the night sky, his skin still so smooth and flawless that I wanted to reach out and touch it. Thank God he couldn't still read my thoughts.
"Don't look at me like that if you don't plan on following through,"
he snapped, his white teeth flashing against the blanket of darkness in the car. "Fine." I put the car back in drive. "So I just have to keep myself from losing control emotionally for the next, what, 10 miles? He sighed.
"Yes."
"And then, once we're safely within the walls of Ethan's little compound?" Cassius shook his head, an amused grin spread across his face.
"Well, then I'll allow you to try to kill me if that's what you really wish."
"I don't want you dead."
"Things would be easier if I were,"
he whispered. "Since when have you ever taken the easy way out?" He broke eye contact and looked down. I'd never seen Cassius do that in all the time I'd known him. His confidence never wavered. Yet as a human, I could see chinks in his armor as if he was falling apart before my very eyes. "Hey." I grabbed his arm, and immediately I regretted it as tiny ice crystals formed around my fingertips and imprinted themselves against his smooth skin. He hissed and pulled back.
"Huh. Never thought I'd be on the receiving end of that."
"What?" I clenched my hand into a tiny fist, flexing my fingers. Cassius caressed the spot on his arm that I just touched, or marked, was more like it. He could still see the indentation where my hand had just been.
"Pity, and..."
He let out a long exhale like it was getting harder to breathe.
"It's not easy to combat, is it?"
"What, pity? Was he losing it? Was being a human finally taking a toll on his once immortal brain? Was that part of his punishment from Sariel?"
"The pull. The flavor."
He licked his lips as if he could taste me.
"The promise of a Dark One's touch."
"But I just touched you. I didn't..."
"You tried to mark me."
He exhaled again and rubbed his arm vigorously.
"We should go, before you kill me."
"I would never..."
"Just drive the car, get me to Ethan's in one piece, and then I promise we'll talk more."
"No more running away?"
"Where could I possibly go where you wouldn't find me?"
I wasn't sure if that was a compliment or just a jab at my stalker tendencies, considering he knew how I felt about him, so I left it alone and pulled back onto the freeway. The car ride was as silent as death the entire way to Ethan's, and I couldn't help but wonder if Cassius being turned human was the final nail in the coffin. Hope died in my chest as I realized I would never be his equal, even as a Dark One. He would always be one step ahead of me. He would always be Cassius. And I would always be the little girl he saved. Never the woman he loved.
Chapter 5. Cassius. My body was hot and cold all at once. It was an odd feeling, like my face was burning up, but the rest of my body had a chill. Maybe I was dying. Wouldn't that be part of Sariel's cruel trick? Give me 30 days, but kill me before I can even attempt to do anything. I was doing a hell of a job, of pushing her away, that was. Every single time I opened my mouth, it was like I lost complete control over what I should say, and just blurted out things that I knew caused pain. My thoughts were jumbled. When I'd been immortal, I was able to compartmentalize, to attack each problem, find a solution, and then deal with the next. Being overwhelmed was never an issue because it never occurred. But in that car, driving toward Ethan's, I was so overcome with life that it was hard to breathe, hard to keep my thoughts straight. It didn't help that I was 99% sure I had internal bleeding and would have trouble getting out of bed in the morning. I wanted to claim her, yet I worried she'd resent me. I wanted to help her, and at the same time, a part of me was fearful of what she was capable of, even as I was fully aware of how weak I was. And then her scent would suddenly invade the car, and I was lost again to a wave of lust for her. Something I'd never in my life experienced until now, because I had no power to push it away. When I had been a Dark One, I was able to recognize the lust for what it was, and shove it away to the furthest recess of my mind. But ignoring the siren's call had been manageable, never easy. And now, I shook my head. Impossible. The air was filled with her scent. My arms still tingled where she'd left her fingerprints. Damn it. She could have easily marked me. She was the equivalent of a superhero who just discovered they had supernatural powers. She sighed. I held my breath, afraid I'd do something stupid. As a human, it was damn near impossible to ignore anything. Hell, even her breathing had me leaning toward her, just wishing she'd turn her head so I could kiss her. That wasn't the way to win her over. A sneak attack. At this rate, I was going to die before anything even started. Home, sweet home. Stephanie said it like a curse as she pulled the car to a stop in front of Ethan's compound and turned off the car. This should be interesting. The ice that had formed across her beautiful skin was receding. Good. At least she'd calmed down enough not to kill both of us. And here they come, Stephanie muttered, then pushed open the door, leaving me in silence as I watched Ethan, Mason, and Genesis approach, followed at a distance by Alex, Stephanie's brother, who I assumed was still pissed off at me on account that I told Stephanie the truth about her heritage. Slowly, I unbuckled my seatbelt, opened the car door, and stood. The talking that had been animated only seconds before I stood ceased altogether. I didn't lift my head. Didn't acknowledge anyone at all. Simply stared at the ground and walked, only stopping when I saw a pair of black boots step in my way. Slowly, I looked up and into Ethan's flashing green eyes. You smell, he blinked, sniffing the air around us, then eyes wide, took a big step backward. Hell. That's not good. Baths, Mason growled and walked toward me. You should try one, Dark. His face paled as he joined Ethan. I turned to Alex, waiting for his reaction to be the same. It was normal, typical, for an immortal to give a human, at least a male human, a wide berth. They had no use for male humans, and our history wasn't necessarily a pleasant one, all things considered. My scent reminded them of the wars fought, the wars lost, the wars yet to come. The kings that had sworn fealty to us only to hunt us later. It would be hardest for them since they were the oldest, old enough to have been involved in many of the great battles that nearly wiped out both the humans and immortals. Alex tilted his head. His eyes held mild amusement. My, my, how the mighty have fallen. In response, I had such a strong desire to run my fist through his mouth that my hand shook. It would only end in blood, my blood, being spilled. Therefore, I chose not to do anything. A complete first for me. I'd always been a man of action. Get it? He walked closer and elbowed me. Because technically you were like a fallen angel with your half-blood, only now you're just... He shrugged. Human. He wrapped his arm around me, pulling me tight against him. Not enough to hurt me, but enough to remind me that I was yet again on the low end of the food chain. His ability to snap me in half wasn't lost on me at all. It was humbling and irritating as hell. I imagine there's a story here. Care to tell it? Care to go to hell? I countered. Super, he nodded. You've been cursed to humanity, and yet you still have that chipper attitude. Cassius? Genesis interrupted. You look...
rough. Mason coughed. He looks rough.
I sighed. As much as I love family reunions... Can we please take this inside? I'm cold. The minute the words left my mouth, I felt weak, and ashamed of my weakness. So much so that I felt my cheeks heat again. Shit. I didn't like this. Not one bit. How the hell was I supposed to win over Stephanie when I had nothing to offer her? No protection, only weakness. I was beginning to realize I hadn't made a deal with an angel, but the devil. And I was going to end up paying with my life.
Chapter 6 Stephanie.
Did he just say he was cold? Alex repeated after Cassius's disappearing form.
Yeah. The words felt hollow coming out of my mouth. He did. Alex tapped his chin, then looked at the doorway Cassius had just walked through.
Interesting.
Interesting? Try terrifying. I rubbed my arms. I wasn't cold, just uncomfortable. It almost felt like we'd switched places, though I had never been human to begin with, so I couldn't even imagine what Cassius was going through, or what desperation had taken place in his mind to get him to a place where turning into a human was even a bargaining chip. It was a punishment. It had to be. Ethan put his muscled arm around my shoulder and kissed my temple.
So it seems you have a lot of explaining to do, or maybe just Cassius.
I shrugged. I know just about as much as you guys.
Well,
Mason rubbed his hands together and cackled.
This should be fun. Play nice.
Ethan snapped. Then, as if realizing what he was saying, he chuckled.
I should probably remind myself of that.
Genesis nodded. You did try to kill him a few days ago.
He wanted what was mine.
Ethan fired back, his eyes blazing green as he hissed out a curse. I stepped away from his embrace and made my way slowly into the house. Cassius was sitting in the kitchen, staring out the window like it was going to suddenly turn into a TV and show him his destiny if he stared hard enough. Penny for your thoughts? I joked. He was silent. The room was strung with tension. I gulped.
Weak.
Cassius whispered the word.
I had forgotten how weak humans were.
Are, I interjected without thinking. His nostrils flared.
My apologies. Are. Present tense. Grammar lessons.
Mason waltzed into the kitchen and pulled out a chair. It scratched across the floor loud enough to make my ears hurt.
So, Cassius, feeling all right?
Cassius rolled his eyes.
Just come out and ask it, Wolf. You look funny.
Cassius snorted out a laugh.
That all you got? Smells funny, too.
Ethan joined in from behind me.
And let's not forget...
Alex patted Cassius on the shoulder.
Your eyes aren't freaky anymore. I was never freaky.
Cassius defended, looking completely insulted as he crossed his bulky arms over his chest. Pieces of his dark hair fell to his sharp chin.
You were.
Everyone except me said in unison. Cassius briefly glanced down at the table, then back out the window. I sat next to him, not really knowing if it was my place to offer him comfort or just wait for everyone to finally pry out of him what the heck had happened.
So,
Ethan spoke after a few minutes.
Now that we're in the safety of the house, mind filling us in?
Cassius gazed at me out of the corner of his eye. His jaw was set in a firm line, almost like he didn't want me to be there.
It's a test of sorts,
he finally said.
From Sariel.
Mason grumbled bastard under his breath as he walked over to the island and started pulling out pots and pans. He turned into one of those people who stress-cooked, even if he didn't eat what he cooked. Which was fine, considering Genesis was still human, and now that she was pregnant, really needed food. The guy could probably compete on MasterChef and win by a landslide. Ever since Genesis had moved in, it seemed all he did was watch the cooking channel and go grocery shopping. Odd behavior for a species known for ripping humans' throats out.
A test,
Ethan repeated.
Care to elaborate, or is that all we're going to get?
Cassius was silent. Of course. No emotion. It pissed me off. At least being human, I expected him to do something, react somehow. At least the way he had in the car. But now, it was like staring at a stone wall.
It involves Stephanie.
He said my name like a curse. I recoiled slightly into myself. Nobody seemed to notice how his words affected me, how they made me want to flinch and scream all at the same time. Instead, I plastered an indifferent look on my face and waited.
I'm to help her. Help her what?
Ethan's voice was laced with dread.
Find herself,
Cassius said it as more of a question.
Is she lost?
Alex piped up.
She was at Starbucks staring at couples. Let's not forget that.
Mason called out from the kitchen, while my face flushed with heat.
And she's been moody.
She's right here, I hissed.
Her powers.
Cassius shrugged.
She's unstable, dangerous. I'm here to help her, but I need to be human in order to do that.
Why? I blurted out. He shrugged. I rolled my eyes in response.
Seems odd.
Ethan put his hands on his hips. His muscles were tight like he was ready to pounce on something. Maybe Cassius.
What's odd?
Cassius folded his muscled arms across his chest. Damn, did he have to still be so built? I scolded myself for my fleeting thoughts and quickly looked away.
Well,
Ethan's voice was doubtful.
Why would Sariel need you to be human in order to do that? I don't make a habit of questioning archangels,
Cassius said in a hollow voice.
Do you? Man has a point,
Alex piped up.
So what? You're human, you help her, she kicks ass, and then you go back to normal?
I stole a peek out of the corner of my eye to gauge his reaction. Cassius's mouth turned down into a scowl.
Yes, something like that. But I'll need to be with her 24/7, and I can't very well do that if I'm not living near her.
Was it my imagination, or did he just blush? I blinked. The pink tinge was gone. Right, my imagination.
House party,
Alex sang.
Does that mean we get to finish watching all the Disney movies Genesis set us up with? No.
Cassius barked out, while everyone else said yes.
Outvoted.
Mason pointed with his spatula.
Trust me, Cassius. It will do you some good. After all, it's good to remember what humans are like. Think of your time here as a learning experience.
Cassius growled low in his throat.
I'd rather not learn from movies.
Don't worry. Alex swatted his back. We won't make you watch the romantic ones about kissing and falling in love and sweeping women off their feet and... What? Cassius blurted. What did you say? Romantic movie.